All right, I know you love each other, but we got some work to do this morning. God bless everybody. Y'all look beautiful this morning. You're welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you for looking beautiful this morning and so handsome. We're on the week two of The Good Work. Three of you enjoy the service this morning. The Good Work. Hey, I'm so excited to be before you. Let's just get right into this. You guys ready to get right into this? Let's buckle our seatbelts. Let's read the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to come out of the book of Haggai chapter 1, I believe. Haggai chapter 1. And we'll read some scriptures together. Please put them up on the big jumbo screen for me. It's actually chapter 2. I apologize. It says, does anyone remember this house? This temple in its former splendor? How, in comparison, does it look to you now? It seems like nothing at all. Moving on to the next scripture, please. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak. You try reading it, all right? Jehozadak, the high priest, be strong, all you people still left in the land, and now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's army. I love that, the Lord of heaven's army. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry lands. And I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all the nations will be brought to this temple. And I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's army. That's some powerful word. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for this morning. We are grateful for your church. We're grateful for a group of people who are lively, who are filled up with joy and love and peace in your spirit, God. And we just ask this morning that you would speak to us. God, we thank you for these moments together. And as we are receptive to your word, we pray that you would speak to us in a mighty way, cause us to grow, cause us to become aware, make us see you more clearly this morning. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, if I were to title the message this morning, it would be called Men at Work. Men or Women at Work. If you remember last week, anybody remember the title from last week? Okay, that is very sad. God's at Work was last week. God's at Work. And this week is Men, parentheses, Women at Work. Men at Work. Anybody remember those songs, Men at Work? I come from a land down under. All right, well, we come from a city on a hill, but that's another story. Men at Work. We're in a very exciting time at Grace Road Church. We are in a very pivotal and exciting moment in our short tenure here in Black Diamond at Grace Road Church. In just a few weeks, we'll be launching Saturday Night Church. We've got one happy person, two happy people, three, four, five, okay. It's like popcorn. Gotta get you heated up a little. We got Saturday Night Church. On Friday, we received, finally, thank you, Jesus, for the city of Black Diamond and the hardworking people, but we got approval on our permits for the before and after school program here at Grace Road Church. It took us about a year to get those permits. A year to get those permits, and we are on the cusp of doing something very exciting in Black Diamond. And so we are gunning for it in the fall to launch a before and after school care. And we also want to launch a preschool at the same time. We are trying to buy this property. We have a lease option, and we've been in this lease option for about a year, and we've got X amount of time to raise half the money for the total price of this building, and the owners will finance the other half at a very low interest rate. We've got X amount of time to get that done. And so we are moving into a season where we have to roll up our sleeves, and we're getting to work now. There are people in this church who are literally adjusting their lives to prepare themselves for the work that God's about to do in this place. I am no longer employed at my former employer. Woo, some of you didn't know that. God has positioned my family to get ready for a harvest and an increase. Other families in this church are shifting things around so that they can be available much more frequently for this church and what this church is doing. There are new people on the leadership team that I will announce to you next Sunday that you will find out about. Several new people. And God is literally shaking this place, getting this place ready, so that if there ever was glory in this house here in Black Diamond, because this building has a lot of history, it's time for God to bring an even greater glory in this place. There were a lot of prayers and a lot of heart and a lot of resources and a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of prayers and a lot of faith that were put into this property to serve this community. Well, 10 Trails has 4,000 homes coming in. 4,000 homes. Not people, families. 5 new schools will be installed in Black Diamond. Now, right up the street here on Lawson Street, there's another development called Lawson Hills. 1,500 homes right up there on 300 acres going in right next to our church. You cannot tell me that God is not about ready to do a great work in Black Diamond. If you would ever put your stock in a startup company, come on somebody, and you're like, this thing's about to go public, there's gonna be an IPO, and we're gonna, you know, who are you gonna invest in? I'm telling you, it's a good investment here in this ground. Your blood, your sweat, your tears, your prayers, your treasures, your talents, this is a good place to invest because God's getting ready to do something exciting. I just believe that. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't put all of my eggs in one basket if it wasn't for what God was promising in this place. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to get us ready. I want to get our hearts ready. We've spent 2.5 years growing, figuring out who's who, figuring out who goes where, getting the right people, moving people around, shifting things around, preparing ourselves, going through some growing pains so that we could be ready for a season of growth. And as we launch out and we serve the children and kids and before and after school care, as literally thousands of new families move to this area over the coming years, we're going to be ready. We're going to be here. We're going to be prepped. Our hearts are ready. We're going to be trained, and we're going to serve people like never before. And we don't have to wait for those homes to grow like wildfire here at Grace Road. So I want to take you through a few things and in the book of Haggai, because Haggai was a prophet, one of the minor prophets who came along, and he began to prophesy as a group of people, the remnants of the children of Israel, were dwelling in a torn down, in midst a torn down temple. So Solomon had built this incredible temple. Solomon had built it. It was plated with gold. It was beyond your wildest imaginations. The splendor and the glory of that house was so incredible, and now it was nothing but rubble. And so the people were discouraged, yet there was work to be done. And so Haggai comes along, and God sends him to begin to speak to the people to get them ready for a great work. And that's exactly what we're doing with this series. We're getting ourselves ready for a great work. In Haggai 2:3, let's start right from the top of where we read. It says, does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? Now, there was some folks among that community who were older. They remembered the temple the way it used to be. You guys follow me. They'd heard the stories. They knew what it was like. And it was so magnificent. It was so incredible that it just paled in comparison to what they were dwelling in right then in that time. So he says, how in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing. And see, what God was doing through the prophet Haggai was genius. He was trying to tell them, if you are going to continue to compare what you have now to what they did back then, you will continue in discouragement. You won't be ready to work. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop comparing. Come on, you can do better than that. Turn to your second favorite on the other side and say, stop comparing. Stop comparing. Here's the trap of comparison. As long as you're looking at the church across town and you're looking at everything that they're doing and you're thinking to yourself, wow, look at that church. You will be discouraged about the church you're in here where God has called you. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of pastors start comparing themselves to some awesome church? It took them 30 years to build that church. And here we are 2.5 years in. We have nothing to be ashamed about at Grace Road Church. If we're going to compare ourselves, we're operating in stupidity. If we compare ourselves to the gifts or the successes of other people, come on now. As long as we compare ourselves and we say, look at how gifted that person is. Look at how gifted that person is. And you start to compare yourselves, you will be discouraged with the gifts that you have. Come on now. I could go analyze all the best preachers and watch them. I do that, by the way. And I do get discouraged when I see how good they are. But you can't do that. You have to be encouraged with what God has given you. Come on now. Comparison is a trap. Look at how successful they are. Look at what they're doing. You know what? Stop and take inventory of what God has been doing in your life. Come on now. Comparison, we have no place for comparison in this church anymore. The season is too important. The work is too big. The promise is spoken. This is real. This is now time. It's time to work and not compare. If you want to compare, do it at home. When you come in here, let's stop comparing and let's start having faith. Amen. See, but they were looking back at the way it used to be, and there's no way we could build a temple like Solomon built a temple. I mean, that thing was so incredible. It was so beautiful. I mean, God, those were the glory days. Come on now. They were so discouraged by way of comparison that they didn't even want to start to do anything new. And comparison, we have to move off the comparison train and get on the faith train. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul wrote this, when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. They are without understanding. So when we compare our success, our gifts, and our programs, and our own lives, and our own financial level, and what's happening with our neighbor, and what's happening with my sister, and what's happening with this pastor, or what's happening with my friend, or what they're doing over there. This is a absolute train wreck, comparison is. Because you can never really see what God's doing and appreciate what God's doing and what he wants to do when we're looking at other things all the time and comparing ourselves and feeling discouraged. You see, comparison will either puff us up or break us down. Because you can compare yourself and say, you know what? I've got more money than that person. I'm more gifted than that person. We're so much cooler than that person. We're so much cooler than that church. We got this, and we start feeling too good about ourselves, right? All of a sudden, we're puffed up because we think we're better than other people. Or it can just drive us into discouragement. We don't measure up. We're not good enough. We suck, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know what? God wants us to get off of that. He wants us to be encouraged, and let's operate in understanding. Let's know what God is saying. Let's be planted where God has planted us, and let's be blessed and get off the comparison. God told them that the latter glory of this temple will be greater than the former glory. That's what I believe God is saying here. God is going to do something so magnificent on this property, like this world, this community has never seen what God's about to do here. This building and this property has been here for a lot of years, Everything's about to change. This new season that's coming up, it's no longer the same black diamond. We got a lot of history. There's a lot of honor. There's a lot of cool things about this town. But everything's about to change. And God has said, you're going to be a part of it. And we've said, yes, let's be a part of this. God has planted you in the fastest growing city and area in Washington State. God has planted you in a suburb area that is about ready to just go. Phew. Think about that for 1 minute. God put you here for this. As long as we're comparing, we're not seeing awesome things that God is doing and what he's saying. Okay, the next verse in Haggai 2:4, he continues on. It says, but now the Lord says, be strong, leader. Be strong, priest. Be strong, everybody. When he's saying that, be strong, he's not just simply saying like, hey, stand strong in the Lord. He's talking to a people who are so discouraged about what it used to be like that they didn't even want to get started. So he's telling them, be strong in your purpose. Be strong in what God is saying for this season. Not what he did last season, but what he's doing in this season and where he's taking us in our next season. Be strong, be resolute, be single-minded, have a singleness of heart of what God is doing now and where he's taking us. Be strong in faith in our promises, even when it's not all coming to pass quite yet. But everything is coming up out of the ground and it's beginning to happen. God says, be strong so that you are encouraged to start getting about his business. Anybody want to be strong in this place? Whenever you're doing a work for the Lord, it's not easy. If you want to be a part of this growth that God is doing, it's not going to be easy. You know, it takes love, it takes faith, it takes commitment, it takes sacrifice. And anytime you step into something that God's calling you to do, it will come with a price to pay. I have to say that as a pastor. As a pastor, we are misunderstood. We are misunderstood. We have all kinds of things that come against us, and so will you if you choose to step in to a work that God is doing. The enemy will come in and try to slap something on your body, try to cause a problem in your life, in your fight, whatever. He'll find a way to try to discourage you. So God says, be strong. Because when you do the work of the Lord, the enemy is going to rise up and try to intimidate you to sit back down. Who do you think you are trying to rebuild this temple? What do you think you're trying to do in Black Diamond? What do you think you're trying to do, believe in all these big things? Just sit down. Black Diamond will never do anything. It's just this old miner's town. There's a lot of demons around here. We'll never break through or bust through. I've got another word from the Lord about that. Jesus will be made famous in this area. The stronghold that the enemy has had on this place is going to break off. Come on now. And God is going to do something amazing and exciting. And it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at us. Come on, sooner or later, you just say, we're in too deep now. We're in so deep. He's thrown everything he can, everything in the kitchen sink at us. You're not going to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. You're not going to stop us. We're not going to be discouraged. We're going to look at it right in the face and defy discouragement. We're going to defy discouragement. And whatever comes against us, we're going to overcome it together. Because we're strong in God. If you look at any good work, the good work that God's people have done, it always came with a sacrifice. So you have to ask yourself the question, it's not for everybody. Is it worth it? What do I want to invest my life in? What do I want to be about? What is my purpose and my calling in this life? When you die, when it's the end of the road for you, and you stand before Jesus, when I stand before Jesus, I want to know that I invested everything I could for the most important thing that matters. The most important thing, the eternal things, the heavenly things. And along the way, God has this way of just blessing his people, taking care of his people, and doing some awesome stuff. So we have to be strong. And the next part of Haggai 2:4, listen, be strong, all you people left in the land. There's not as many of you. There's some of you left. And now get to work. Get to work. Some of you are like, I'm kind of new here, you know? I came here to just rest. If you're here for a season of rest, then that's awesome. That's why we're here. But God is preparing us for a season of growth. And the only way for God to breathe growth into a church is to have a strong infrastructure. So that when the people come in, we're ready for those people. We can support those people. We can meet their spiritual demands and their needs. So he says, get to work. Why? For I am with you. I am with you. You can go to the next slide. When God is with you, when God is doing something, that gives us incredible encouragement, okay? We have this false idea about the ministry and about church and about working and stuff because, you know, we do compare and we look at those just super well-oiled operational, you know, those big, and we see how well they do things. And we kind of come into church and we come into ministry and we just think things are just sort of like supposed to flow and just everything's just so nice. And it's not. It's really ugly and it's really hard. And it's a lot of work and there's a lot of comparison. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's real. It's like when you eat at a fine dining restaurant, come on now, and you pay the big bucks, you go in there and they got the linen and they got the waiter, the food server is just so well-spoken and just so polite and so calm and, you know, they take your order and it's just so nice and you order your glass of wine and you order, you know, your surf and turf or whatever, medium rare, you know, mashed potatoes on the side and all that, and you order it and then it comes out and the waiters go in the back, the food servers go in the back, and when they shut the doors and go into the back part of the restaurant, come on, the cooks are cussing, they're sweating, they're slipping, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's just, they're frustrated, and then they come out onto the front and it's like, thank you so much, Mr. Wachter. Are you saying you guys are cussing it? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a front of the house experience and there's a back of the house experience. And the back of the house experience is when you're sweeping the floor and there's no one else in the building except for you, and you were the first one there and you're the last one to leave. The back of the church is when you're up at 4 a.m. getting here to prepare and to serve and to make coffee and to do things so that you can be ready, and then it all just goes and it looks so nice. But God is saying he needs more people to get to work, to carry some of the heavy lifting so that we can support more people, right? And he says, I'm working for the Lord. He's with us. If God is behind something, how many of you know if God is behind something, it's a good cause? Right? It's worth it. It's worth our investment. It's worth our treasure. It's worth our time because God is with it. I just believe this ministry here, I believe with all of my heart that God is 100% behind us. I believe with all of my heart that we are called here for such a time as this, that God is doing something here, and that we've been in preparation all of our lives for this moment. Coming, some of you come in here, you have the exact skill sets that we need. You have the exact background. You have the things that this church needs to help us move into this next season. And if God is with something, you can take great confidence. And what you're doing is worth every penny. It's worth every minute. It's worth every tear. It's worth every prayer. It's worth diving into and doing it together. Amen? There's no higher calling. This is the same God who's with Grace Road Church, the same God who's with you and your family and your marriage and your life, is the same God who was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of our forefathers. This is the God who Jesus revealed. This is the God we read about in the Bible. He is still working. There's work to be done. There's a job that he's about. There's something he's doing on this planet. And he has a strategy, and we're part of that strategy. And so I don't know about you, but I love the fact that this God we read about in the Bible, come on, this God who parted the Red Sea, delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, brought them into the promised land. Come on, the God of the mighty God of valor, the God who met Joshua standing there prepping out the land and said, I am the commander of the army of this God. It's the same God who's with us to fight the spiritual battles that we've been called to fight. The same God. We read about it in the Bible and it just looks so spiritual because it's the Bible, you know, and it is spiritual. They didn't always feel spiritual when they were out in that desert. Joshua didn't feel spiritual when he had sweat on his brow and he was freaking out trying to figure out what God was going to do and how they were going to take Jericho. It didn't feel like this little dancy, prancy, nice little thing in the Bible. It felt like war. It felt tough. It felt like work, but they were about God's business. I hope I'm not scaring you this morning. I'm just excited. I'm excited. I believe in what God is doing and the call on this house. I want to share with you the end part of this scripture of Haggai 2:6. I'm going to spend some time here. Wendy, you can come up. We've been reading out of the New Living Translation. This is the New King James Version. Because I want to show you Haggai's word to these people, telling them to get to work. I'm with you. Be strong. Let's be about it. He says, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies says. This is what I believe the Lord of heaven's army is saying to us. Once more, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory. Listen to me. This is not my house. This is not even your house. This is God's house. The church is God's church. We are mere stewards over God's church. He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when we get to work for Jesus, we are creating an atmosphere where people can come in, not into a bingo hall or a nightclub, but we can come into a place where the desire of all nations is operating. People come into this house and it's an oasis to them. They come out of a dark, broken, messed up world out there, an unfair, fallen world, and they're looking for some truth. They're not looking for something fake anymore. They can read about fake stuff on Google. Come on now. They need something real. They're looking for a real God, a real Jesus, a type of Jesus that will actually be there and minister. So when you walk out of the place, you know you've had an encounter with the living God. This is the desire of all nations. Jesus is the desire of all nations. Jesus is the answer to every question in the universe. Jesus is the remedy to every problem known to mankind. Jesus, when you break off all the smoke screens and you get through to the heart of the matter, he is what every human being ultimately desires. They try to fill it up with everything else. They try to fill it up with drugs and alcohol and sex and partying and work and pleasure and coffee or whatever. But at the end of the day, everyone is searching for Jesus to fill the vacuum in their hearts that only God can fill. And when we are about God's business, we are about bringing people to the desire of all nations, lifting up Jesus so that everyone knows there's a God who loves them. There's a place they can go to hear truth. They can walk in and not be judged no matter what has happened in their life. When they reach their points of exhaustion and their breaking point and they call and cry out to God with a broken and contrite heart, we will be here for them. And we will be doing what we've been doing since 2017, proclaiming the love and goodness of Jesus. Come on, this gospel is too powerful to put on the back burner. This work is too important to put on the back burner. This thing is too real. The time is too short to pretend like there's more important things to do. Jesus, you know what our mission statement is here? We exist to make Jesus irresistible to people everywhere. We exist to make Jesus, the desire of all nations, irresistible. We exist to strip off all the man-made junk that people put on Jesus that create a resistance to Jesus. We exist to strip off all the religion that people put on Jesus, and so people think Jesus is about religion and not relationship. We exist to strip off all of this junk that separates people from God, which is exactly what the Pharisees did. So that the desire of all nations can be presented as purely and as accurately as we can possibly present him. So he can speak through us and we can be conduits of his grace, love, forgiveness, and truth. So that when people come in here, we are the hands and feet and the mouths of Jesus. Listen, it's not always like that, and it hasn't always been like that in churches. People go into church and they're judged and they never want to go back again. God forbid that we're like Pharisees when the desire of all nations is what people really are longing for. If you want to invest your life into something that really matters, ask God, what do you want me to do? What is my part in the local church? You might not be able to do everything, but you can do something. You can do a small thing. You can do a little thing. And little things add up to a big thing when there's a lot of people doing a lot of little things. God is going to fill this place with his glory. I believe that to the root of my being. Here's your altar call. Get to work. Here's your altar call. Pray to God. What would you have me to do? How can I help? I want to be a part of this. I want to join. I want to be a part of this zeal, this move, this moment in the history of Washington State and the kingdom of God. At thegraceroad.org/serve, there's a list of lots of things that we need help with. We had a group come in, and Chad, I don't know if Chad's here. Anyway, he's got a striping business. And it's funny, we had life group last week. I'm like, why did you stripe the parking lot? Did it for free. It's like, because it was driving me crazy. No one knew where to park. And I said, that's how you know what you're called to. Some of you are like, why don't they do this better? You do it better. That's why you're here. Why don't they have this ministry? Oh, because you're supposed to do it. That's why. Why do they do it? Because we need your wisdom. We need your help. Help us do it better. Help us start that program. I heard a pastor say, you see a need, you fill a need. And I call Annie. Annie doesn't have to pray for things, and it just happens. Because Annie for a year is like, will you please, we need to do something about that parking lot. It's driving me crazy. God brought him in to make sure she's happy. Happy wife, happy life. I've learned to honor her as the co-pastor of this church. If there's something bugging you, that's why you're here. Fix it. You don't like something in the lobby? Change it. Some of you, like, I don't like how much things change. So what? Can we get rid of these? That's good. So present these things to us and present them in a way where you can come in and help us change it. Amen. That's the altar call. How can you help? Because we need your help. We're about to double the workload of everyone in this church. There are people, small amount of people, very small amount of people that do everything, most of the stuff. And we're gonna double that workload with Saturday night. We need your help. This must work. We must succeed, and we will succeed because God is with us, amen. I want to pray over the call in this church, and I want to pray over each and every one of you. Father, you've spoken your word. You've transitioned families. You've changed the trajectory of lives to be prepared for what you're about to do. Over the next 5 years, Lord, this will not look like the same place. God, I pray that you would bring people into position. I pray, Father, that you would tug on the hearts of your people to do the things that you've called them to do. God, I pray that you would put a zeal in our hearts. I pray that you would literally, personally show each and every person listening to this now, show them what you're doing. Give them the supernatural divine persuasion on what you're doing here. God, I pray for such a wave of faith in this house that we would just begin to shout about what you're about to do because we know you're about to do it. God, I pray for a spirit of faith to rise up in this house. I pray for a spirit of willingness to rise up in this house. I pray for a spirit of work to rise up in this house. I pray for a spirit of cooperation to rise up in this house, God. And I just pray, God, that the chess pieces would be put into place and that when we launch Saturday nights, God, we are in this together. We are in this together, God. So, Father, send news to Enumclaw, Black Diamond, Ravensdale, Covington, Kent, Maple Valley, in every place I've missed. Send word to them that there's another service on Saturday night. That if they can't make it Sunday, there's another place they can go. And it's Saturday night here in Black Diamond. Let everyone who needs to know about it find out about it. We thank you for this, God, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.